Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Charlie, thank you for that last song. Did you do that on purpose? You know, last time I spoke, I put in a request, and normally when I ask Charlie for a song, he goes, "Hey, this ain't Sunny FM. We don't take requests." You know, but he was kind enough to do it last time, and then I think the Lord just knew, I guess. If you didn't do it on purpose, you were just being led by the Spirit. One of my all-time favorite songs. If I was God, dude, I'd be celebrating all kinds of things. You know, I'd be like, see the Grand Canyon? I did that. You see this? I did that. But I read in his word, there's really only one time you see where all of celebration just celebrates, and he's just like, yeah. And that's when a child comes back to him. So he's more concerned about you and I's welfare than he is all of creation. And he's got so much to brag about, yet he reserves his boast. And another child came home. And, Pastor Charlie, Pastor Terry, Pastor John, there's all kinds of things that we can look back over our lives and say, hey, yeah, I got that one right. I'm happy about that. And that one I didn't, but I got that one right. But I guarantee you folks, if you got them alone and you really cross-examined them, forget their careers, forget this, forget that, it's the impact they have on their family and where they're at with their family. There's nothing like it, is there? And that song right there is saying, may his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations. Woo-wee! I tell you what, I'm satisfied with a lot of things I've been able to do, but nothing's more satisfying than looking back at that back row and seeing my children here with me today. It's just... And Izzy, I will stand still, I promise. You know, he says, Dad, if you could, stand still. It's difficult. Hey, we live in an exciting time. There's reasons and rationale to be irritated, I imagine. And there's reasons and rationale to be excited. You know, it's just a matter of where you look, right? And there's this debate going on right now with... astrophysicist, if I can get that word out correctly, about a new discovery they just stumbled upon in the last year or two. And to understand it, you have to go back to the early 1800s. Until 1803, people thought that light was made of particles. You know, light was just a particle, which means you could interrupt it. And it wasn't until a scientist figured out, no, light comes from a waveform. And then sound was discovered. That's a waveform. And then through that understanding, we move on up to modern day medicine, where we understand that consciousness, thoughts, can be actually measured on a machine by measuring waveforms. That's how when they put you into this thing and they scan you, they can see your mind lighting up because it's measuring the waveforms. And then we move up to just a couple of years ago, where they have now figured out that every particle, every atom, everything that is in reality that we mess with is somehow orchestrated by what they're trying to figure out what to call this master waveform, this meta waveform. And they're over debating right now, what should we call this? One guy, comical sensibilities like me, says, why don't we call it God? Because he knew his Bible. In him we live and move and have our being. You can meta all day long, but he's the author and the finisher. He's not the meta narrative. He is the narrative. He started it. He'll finish it. Amen. Amen. And so it's just some exciting times, but there's challenging times, of course, that we're all facing, and it doesn't have to go with being repeated, but I tell you, this morning I feel a little bit ill-prepared in this. I had a great message put out, I thought, and then it all got thrown out the window at the back door when I first walked in. And it started with Miss Brenda. I walk in and she says, "You need to behave." Well, I ain't got nothing to say now. Just ripped all my notes out. No. Someone asked, said, "Terry, all this vacationing, what's with your complexion?" And so I want to settle the debate right now because I've had two or three of you ask about it. I oversleep a lot. And that's what happens. Now, I know you're scratching your head. What? Well, when we moved Gina's mom down to South Carolina, we got some of her stuff. One of it was her alarm clock. Now, my wife is a coder, you know, a child of a deaf adult, right? And the way she wakes up is this big heat lamp that wakes up on a timer. Well, we got it now, and I oversleep a little bit. This is what happens. So just bear with me. Bless him, Lord. Bless him. Thank you. I heard that, and I receive it. You can even say, bless your heart. I'll take that one, too. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4 is where we're going to hang out today. And just ask the Lord to illuminate this for us. And I don't know if you're like me. I like to assign voices to certain authors. You know, Paul, in my head, when I read anything written by Paul, I hear Cliff Clavin off of Cheers. You know, Norm, interesting enough. You know, sir, why? Because he's an educator. He's a Hebrew among Hebrews. He knew everything, right? So he was sort of like an expert. So that's my expert voice. You know, Cliff Clavin from Cheers, if you ever watched that sitcom. Well, Peter, I got Peter with a little more attitude. You know, a little more Northeast Boston vibe, a little Bill Burr, you know, type. So I like reading his work in a more Northeastern accent sometimes, but I won't. But he says this, since therefore Christ suffered, verse 1, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin so as to live for the rest of the time in flesh, no longer for the human passions, for the will of God. The time that is that passes suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account in him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached. This is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, that through judged in flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. So going on to verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. All above, keeping loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Terry Wilson. Let me read that again for myself. Hold on a second. This isn't for me. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. All right, I had to take that twice. Sorry. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together, and I ask you right now to illuminate your word, decrease my voice, increase your word. Lord, let me get out of the way. Lord, if I am a distraction, remove the distraction and let people hear and see only your words, your face, and your voice. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. One in five Americans right now, according to recent reports, are suffering from or having measurable and significant negative impacts on their mental health. Now, how are these reports generated? Now, I want you to think about that. One in five. There's 333 million Americans right now, U.S. citizens, 333. One in five says that they are suffering from or have had measurable, significant negative impacts to their negative. Now, is this fake news? How can I trust this? Well, let me explain how this study came about. There's three sources. Number one, caregivers, therapists, psychologists, mental health providers, reports that it's been aggregated by them. Number two, pharmaceutical purchases, just measuring how much drugs and what drugs are being sold through pharmacy. And number three, drug and abuse alcohols that's been reported in cases from law enforcement, health professionals, and services. So with those three sources of data, they have come up with in 2021, one in five. So how can we as the church have the impact and influence for Christ on society that we have been called to and empowered for? How many believe we have been called to and empowered to have a direct impact on our society? We're not supposed to be sitting here as commentaries, you know, just commentating on life and society. You know, we're supposed to be in the game, affecting and effecting change. Amen? So I believe it's found in just one word. I do believe that there's power to affect change in one word that I want to talk to you about today. Now, this word is not in style anymore. I'm going to go ahead and warn you so some may be offended, especially those who maybe not family here inside the church and watching online. And I want to say a special hello because I know a few of my folks in our network is on and already giving me a hard time. So I see you, but I'm not listening, okay? this word is popular among the voices. This word is not popular among the voices that advocate entitlement or false equity or promote grievances as some sort of virtue. However, I believe that God promises that if we will fully embrace this word, this idea, and I will tell you, it's a mandate actually, we will find not only our impact and influence increase in the levels that we're called to, but our very experience in our own lives will improve exponentially. So to be clear, by engaging and embracing this concept, we will improve the lives of everyone around us and our own lives as well. What a deal. Just by this one word, we're going to improve the lives of everyone we come in contact with. But wait, there's more. Call now and it'll improve your life as well. So Terry, what is this magic word? Oh, it's so simple, it's overlooked. It's so simple, it's cliche. There's the difference between knowing and believing. I'm about to tell you something you already know. What I'm challenging is, how much do you believe it? I know things, but sometimes I struggle with my own belief. I know. Paul says, I can do all things. I can do all things. In context, that means I can take a beating and stand up and get back on the horse. Because he's actually talking about suffering there. That's the context of that passage. Paul says, I know that. But boy, sometimes my believer is broken. So what's the word? Serve. Serve. Good word. Sir, somebody say, serve is the word.
Serve is the word.
I wished I could do a good T.D. Jakes. Touch three people and say, serve, serve, serve. I can't do it. I can't pull it off. Gosh, I wished I could, though. Because I would, man. I mean, I'd be all up. Seriously, I mean, I don't even know what he said, but I like it. Matthew 20, 27 says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be what? Matthew 25, 21, his master replied, well done, good and faithful. What? He didn't say musician, speaker, therapist, friend, counsel. No, he said servant. Philippians 2, 7 through 8 says, rather be made himself, he's talking about Jesus, rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of what? A servant and in human likeness. There are five areas. Now, the religious mindset, Brother Terry, the Bible says we're just supposed to serve God. Okay. But how? How? I'm going to give you five areas that I promise you, if you'll serve these five areas, you are serving God. You are doing what God said to do. This is serving God. But see, sometimes we get so spiritually minded, we're earthly ineffectual, right? We affect no change because we're in the spirit world, you know. For those who get that movie reference, I apologize. How come they can't see us? Number one, this is going to disturb some religious spirits. So y'all go ahead and get your Pentecostal guns out and shoot down any you see, all right? Because they're about to start flying. Area number one, where are you supposed to serve? Self. What? Yeah. Listen, if you're no good for nobody. What are you doing when you sleep at night? Serving yourself. What am I doing on that treadmill other than running from a cheeseburger? Because you can't outrun a cheeseburger. I've tried. God knows I've tried. I'm by serving myself, by trying to be the best I can be, I am improving my ability to be the best Charlie needs from me, Pastor Terry needs from me. Let's not get so high and pious that when we hear that, hey, you need to take care of yourself, all of a sudden it's like, all right, bless God, I don't think about myself. Well, then that's the problem. You need to. Not in a selfish way, but in a way that will make you a better version of what God has called you to be. Amen. Right? I want to teach, this is a revelation for some. I want to teach you a word. It's my favorite word that will serve you well. Oh, it's a great word. It's a hard word. It's not an easy word. But it'll set you free. And the word is, Gina, you want to say it? No. Amen. The word no will set you free. Terry, I need you to do that. No. Terry, I want to do that. No. Does that mean I should always? No. Does that, now, in full disclosure, I lean way too much that way, and I need my wife pulling me back. You know, a yes every once in a while to help around would be, I get that. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Take care of the temple. Keep it swept. Keep the noise down. Keep the noise down so that you can hear God. But when life, and that's all Satan wants from you, is he just wants to, hey, listen, he knows you're saved. He knows he can't do anything about it. But boy, he can keep you so busy and so ratcheted up and so worried and so, your mind in 15 different places that he can make you ineffectual. He can. He just, let's just get them worried and going around on this circle right here. And then that you know, can't we lost that one, but we can at least win the ones that they could bring effect by. That's all this game is about, is the battle of the mind. You're the temple of God. Keep the temple swept and clean. Keep it free of all the negativity and all the chaos and all the nonsense and all the negative Nancy's and the doubting Thomas's and it'll never be, it can't be, shouldn't be. Well, you know, so be it according to your faith, as far as me and my house. And I'll tell you something, let me give you a little, this is just for me, but if you can use it, great. And you know this because you know me. I was a sucker for an argument. I was a sucker for an argument. That's how Satan got me all he had to do was put someone in front of me, same faith, same this, same that, but want to argue over just some trivial minutia. You know, I remember early on when I first got ordained and I was in this camp, but I was from this camp and educating this camp, so I was like a mixed puppy, I guess is the best way to put that. And I would find myself just ratcheted up on all of these different doctrines and stuff like that. And debating Ed, the goofy debates I would have in some of these, eternal salvation, cessationism, or however you say it. The sovereignty of God, all of this, just da 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 da. And I just got, and I was a sucker for it. I mean, I just got in there and da da da, you know, would wrestle along with them. And one day, God just set me free. He says, "So be it according to your faith." So I had this brother right before I was supposed to get up speak one time, and he was just kind of, and he wanted to come at me about this whole thing about eternal salvation, and he was in the camp that you can lose it, and da da, and I'm in the camp that no, you know, it's a free gift, you know, and I'm supposed to speak, and he's like 5 minutes into this, and I was like, "Lord, why?" He says, "Terry," and he came armed with all these passages of why I should believe it this way, and da da da, and. I said, "So you believe you can lose it?" "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Well, okay, let me have your hand." And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Let me have your hand." And so he gave me his hand. I said, "Lord," and I mentioned his name. "I just thank you for brothers and his name." And I said, "I thank you that he believes and he's believing for his salvation to be lost. And Lord, just right now, if you can and find it anyway, let him lose it. Just let him forget it. Let's let him leave it at the mall or something." And he, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, whatever you want, believe what you want to believe. Why are you coming at me?" "I set you free." That's serving yourself. That's serving yourself so that when you're up in front of people and you're called to minister, you're out in the mall and you're out in the halls and you're out in the byways and highways, you're not ratcheted up all of a sudden because of these landmines and these snares of the enemy, right? So number one, first area, self. Second area, family. Timothy 5:8, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his own household, he is what? Worse than an unbeliever." Worse than an unbeliever. All the time. "Terry, I'm called to minister." "Well, how's your family?" "Well, let's not talk about that." "Well, there's your ministry field." Right? Right? Family. Number three, your church. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone." His church. He wants cared for. He does. Serve the church. Number four, serve your community. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all." In your community, when you see this, serve it, help it. And fifth and finally, your country. 1 Timothy 2:1-5. "First of all, then I urge you that supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, and we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is the desires of all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." What is going to help people come to the knowledge of truth? By the way we serve our nation and country, in the way we talk about it, in the way we engage it, in the way we honor it, in the way we pray for it. Guys, this is not me up here waving the American flag trying to be whatever. This is God's word. He cares. Whether you lived in Israel or U.S. or Canada or wherever you're planted, he expects you to be a great citizen of it and to pray for its leadership and to pray for the way it's going and the direction it's going and be engaged. Those five areas, if you will serve in those areas, God promises you are serving him. I want to give you quick 10 benefits that service is going to give you, and then I want to break this passage open and I want to give you a way to engage. But here are 10 benefits that is proven you will receive simply by engaging this word. Number one, surprise, surprise, it feels good. It just feels good. Does it not make you feel better when you help others? And you say, "Terry, this is so elementary and simplistic." But my friend, we live in a time period right now in the context of 2020 and 2021 and all the toxicity in our society and all the things that are going on in our news and all the things that we could just get ratcheted up, my numbers show me that 1 in 5 of us in here are suffering in a great way. So I know we know it, but do we believe it? I know we know it, but do we believe it? See, the temptation is just like what Brother Jeff said there with the whole thing with COVID, and it happens with any sickness. It happens with anything. Human nature is, I want to just lay under it, just rest in it. It takes intentionality to rise above. You are never going to feel like pushing past the situation. Won't happen. If you're waiting on the feeling to come, hey, I need to get on that treadmill that day. I've been doing it for 1.5 years yet, and I'm telling you, I have yet to wake up, I'd like to get on that treadmill now. It just don't happen. If I've got pneumonia and I'm sick, what do I want to do? I'm tired. If my family is all in turmoil, some of them not even talking to one another because of crazy politics. If my family is all in turmoil because the grandchildren are doing this and the parents are doing this and the adults are doing this and the siblings are doing this and I got all of this chaos all around me, I don't feel like taking some time to serve myself, serve my community, serve my church, and serve others. I want a break because I'm tired and I'm worn out. But here's what I have figured out just in my little health journey. And I'm no expert, and I'm saying I'm not asking anybody to watch me because anyway. What I have discovered is the more and more I do the things I don't feel like doing, the more and more I feel better in the way things are. Life is not going to get softer, but you can make yourself harder. Life is not going to get easier, but you, through your intentional actions and every day going in a process to serve yourself, serve others, serve your community, pushing past the way I feel, I'm telling you, you become stronger. You know, I had a conversation with one of my children one time, and he was right. Life sucks. You're right. Can't argue with that. It's difficult. It's full of mean people. People hurt you. People betray you. People lie about you. People do this. They tell you one thing, then they do another. And then this happens, and then this happens. And it always seems like it's the wicked that always gets elevated because I'm in this workplace. And it's just like if the bigger, I'm not on a podcast. Hold on a second. I can't use the word. I just came to mind. The bigger irritant the person is, it seems like the more they get elevated. And the nicer the person is, the same they just get. Yeah. Scott's like, There's an acronym called Some Other Boss I use some other time, but I realize it could distract from my message. don't get the transcript. But I said, you're right. It's not that any of this stuff gets easier. As a matter of fact, I will tell you, your workplace, your life, the world you live in now is way harder, way tougher than the world I came up in the early 90s. I'm not going to make any bones about it. It's tougher. But here's the good news. You can get stronger. To the point, the reality of what you live no longer is overwhelming to you. Because greater is he that is what? Than he that is. Guys, we got the goods. And we know it. Do we believe it? And I love what one clinical psychologist said when he was asked about beliefs and stuff like that. And I love this definition. I want to act as if I believe it. Because truly, truly, the way I act is what I believe. You know why I'm standing up here with full security and feeling like I'm okay? Because I believe that the people that built this stage is going to hold up myself. But if I built this stage, you would see me going, okay, I know where that area was at there. And I would be walking completely different. Why? Because my belief system, see, my beliefs inform my behavior. And I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, greater is he that is in you than anything. This world's not going to get easier, but you are going to get tougher. Amen? Benefit number one, it makes you feel good. Number two, a sense of belonging. One of the top drivers right now in a lot of mental health issues is this sense of isolation, and I don't belong, and I'm alienated. And because this whole pandemic of getting people pushed out has just gotten them so detached from humanity that it's just been, it's been a little straining on them. So sense of belonging. When you serve, you have a sense of belonging. When you serve, you have a sense of purpose. When you serve, you have a sense of perspective. When you serve, you cultivate better culture. When you serve, number six, you extend, this is medically proven, when you serve, you extend your own lifespan. God says he wants you to, above all else, what? Prosper and be in good health, even as what? He's in the prosperity business. Now, I know it's gotten a bad rap because of some charlatans out there, but God is for godly prosperity. Amen? It, number seven, it renews your energy. Number eight, it improves sense of self-worth. You feeling like I'm not worthy? I'm feeling like I don't belong? I'm feeling like, what good could I do? Serve. I'm feeling like, who am I? What could I do? Serve. I'm feeling like no one would ever miss me. Serve. Right? It's just proven and it helps. Number eight, number nine, it deepens your relationships. And number 10, it improves your optimism. Improves your optimism. So Peter there in chapter one, we're going to wrap up here. I didn't realize, why didn't you tell me I'm going too long? You should have said, hey, you're going too long. I'll hit this and we'll get out of here. 1 Peter 4:1 says this, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, since Christ suffered in the flesh, 1 Peter 4:1, since Christ suffered in the flesh, what? Arm yourself with what? Same way of thinking. Same way of thinking. In other words, don't be surprised when it hurts. But the red-faced funny guy said, if I served, everything would be good. I show up, and Gina didn't even say, hey. I showed up, and they told me the camera wasn't done right that day. I showed up, and listen, here's the beautiful thing about serving. It's going to develop you because here's the thing. If I can work out all of these things among people that genuinely love me and I love them because we're in the same faith, we're in the same body, I'm toughening up for what? The marketplace out there. So when I'm out there serving in that area, I've got people saying things that are negative to me that I don't know if they love me or not. But at least I know inside here I'm getting to rehearse a God-given gift, a skill set, a way of engaging my purpose and my passion so that, guys, I'm making a living. Guys, I'm making a living off of teaching Sunday school once a week. That's all I do. I got a little closet at my house, a little microphone. I take all of these Sunday school lessons that I got to teach over here for years and years and years, and I apply them in the marketplace. And I don't get it. I don't get it. I still don't understand it. And my boys and girls, they still just laughing. Dad, why are these people listening to you? I don't know. But they listen. But it all started, why? serve. Serve myself. Develop a skill set. Develop a mindset. Develop character. Develop commitment. Develop all of these things I need. Serve my family. Making sure they're taken care of. Serve my community. Serve my church. And all of a sudden, it's just like how you do anything is how you do what? Right? If you're faithful in little, he'll do what? And so here's what I want to encourage you. Listen, I know everyone in here, that means statistically 100%, everyone in here is tired, busy, maybe a little frustrated and aggravated with things going on in their own lives. I get all that. Trust me, we could share war stories right now, what's going on. But let me encourage you, the way out, the way up, the way to improve the experience you're having is engage. The title of this message is, it's grow time. And this is not a time for shrinking back. This is a time of dominating, taking over, taking ground. Because there's an entire marketplace out there that's full of discouragement, disheartening, and just depressed. And you have the goods. You have the answers. And I want to encourage you, engage. Coming December, first Sunday in December, all the way through the end of the year, if you have questions on, well, what is my skill set? What am I equipped with? What did God give me? What's my spiritual gifts? I've never been able to connect with that. Right back there in the middle classroom there during Sunday school from December on, and if that changes, I didn't work this out with the location, but if that changes, we'll announce it. But we're going to have a class on discovering who you are, developing the skills, mindset, and spiritual acuteness to engage, and then deploying. Because everyone in here has been given a ministry. Everyone in here has been given a calling. Everyone in here has got greatness on the inside of you. And you say, Terry just up there trying to recruit. Yes. Yes, I am. But it's for your benefit. It really is. It is for your benefit because life becomes worth living when you not only know when you were born, but know why you were born. And you fully engage because I'm telling you, it is so rewarding. Amen? I love you guys. And listen, you don't have to like me, but the Bible commands you. You have to love me. All right, let's pray and dismiss. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for equipping us and empowering us to do your word and giving us a promise of experience when we engage your word. And so, Lord, I ask you right now that not to let this word fall on, grounds of familiarity, but, Lord, let it fall on, that's my word, I'm going to engage, and this is what I'm called to do. Lord, let your people rise up and show out because all of creation is groaning for their presence. And the word is going out, who shall we send? And we as a collective body at Father's Vineyard in Spindle, North Carolina says, here are we, send us. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.